and welcome to Thanks for the Knowledge. It's Fan Bites weekly news show, rounding up headlines and games and entertainment in one handy podcast. I'm your host, head of Fan Bite Media, John Warren. We are in the thick of Hot Game Summer 2022. It is the summer celebration of all things video games. There are a million announcements. There are many things to talk about. We have a lot to get to. I'm going to round up a lot of our headlines in a bit. But first, I want to get to a roundtable discussion between me, Paul Tamayo, and Diego Arguello about some of the biggest announcements we saw from this week's shows. We are in the very thick of Hot Game Summer 2022, and this week we had a couple of really big showcases. One was Jeff's big show, Summer Game Fest 2022. The other was Day of the Devs. Both had some surprises and some cool stuff announced, and to unpack a lot of it, I wanted to talk to two of my favorite people here at fanbite.com. One is featured contributor Diego Arguello.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Hello. Of course. And the other is the producer of this very podcast. It's Paul Tamayo.
Hello. How's it going?
Pretty good. I want to start with Jeff's show. And I was going to write a piece about this, but then I felt like for whatever reason in writing, it felt mean, but in podcast, it doesn't. Can we talk about the vibes of that show for like a couple minutes?
Sure.
First of all, Jeff's fit. What did we think about the jacket over the T-shirt? What did we think about the shoes? What did we think?
I'm going to try to be nice here.
Yeah.
Out of professional courtesy.
Professional courtesy.
I mean, I think in general, I would love to see developers just not do that more often. I think that, like, that's the sort of, like, staple. I mean, not that Jeff is a developer on there presenting his games or whatever. But just in general, that fit needs to be retired. I would love to see either you go all the way, like
full suit,
suited and booted.
Yeah.
Or just go casual. You know what I mean? But like the half stepping for me doesn't work. And speaking of stepping, I've never really been a fan of Jeff's shoe selection. That's putting it lightly. I will say, points for trying, I guess. I don't know. Diego, what do you think?
I mean, you're probably the best person to talk about this stuff because I know shit about fashion, basically. I only wear like black shirts. I'm working on it though. But
I like it. I respect a good uniform though.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think I'm glad that I just didn't see like blue jeans right off the bat.
Right.
That's like the bare minimum, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the blazer over the T-shirt thing is so it's so far beyond parody at this point. It's kind of amazing that people still do it.
right. Yeah.
But I don't know. And also, I just thought it was so strange that everybody that Jeff asked to come on the stage was just like, this is the most amazing production I've ever seen. Congratulations on an amazing career, Jeff Keighley. Yeah. We love you and respect everything you've done for this business. Thank you so much, Jeff Keighley. And he was just like, it's not about me. Shucks. Just every single time. It was a really weird vibe. It was an odd vibe. Also, I lied at the beginning. I said there were some cool announcements. There were no fucking cool announcements at these shows. It was at Jeff's thing. Day of the Devs, I think, was amazing. But I still want to talk about some of the stuff at Jeff's show. Guile has a beard now.
Goatee. Challenging.
Because it's weird. I don't like it. I was disturbed by it. It kind of Mike did a good Mike Williams, friend of the site, actually a worker at the site, but that's just what we say around here. Did a Photoshop of Guile's hair, but as his beard. So it's like flat and big. And I thought that would have been a way better choice for Guile.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That look just, I don't know. I feel like I would have seen Guile at the riot on January 6th. Like that's the kind of vibe.
I was surprised that Guile showed up at the Game Awards at the Summer Game Fest because I thought he'd be at the hearings.
At the hearing,
yeah. But yeah, I thought that was odd. Well, okay, so we did see some trailers, mostly stuff that we already knew about already from Summer Game Fest. Diego, I'll start with you. Kind of what stood out to you as something you were excited about from Jeff's showcase?
Yeah, so there was this indie from Raw Fury, which I can't remember, Routine.
Yeah, Routine, sure.
Yeah.
Which was showcased like in a very, very brief trailer, which was a shame because I think Jeff's like kind of mentioned like, oh yeah, this game has been like in development for like a decade.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were excited about it, and I knew like nothing about like even the name of it. And I would have liked to see like a spotlight on that moment to like, I don't know, talking to the development, even if it was like a, I don't know, pre-recorded Zoom call or something.
Yeah.
Because we saw spotlights for games like, I don't know, like Call of Duty or Gotham Knights. And it's like, yeah, we've seen this, like,
we've
this
seen
variation
this.
Of the same trailer like a thousand times already.
I mean, they spent 20 fucking minutes on The Last of Us at the end of this thing. And we couldn't know more about Routine. Yeah, I totally agree.
I don't know. I think it was a shame. Because there were a couple like interesting indies in there, but they were just like crammed up. I mean, it's like other stuff.
Yeah, Routine is interesting. It's been in development for more than a decade. The team from the UK, Lunar Software, they announced it right ahead of Gamescom 2012.
Wow.
And they had a trailer up for it, and you can go watch it on their YouTube channel. It's like kind of bare bones, like it doesn't really give the vibes that their most recent trailer did. That they have four videos on their channel. One is that announcement, one is in an alpha announcement, which was like a year later, and then 5 years after that there was a quote release date announcement trailer, which looks very different, and this is called the re-reveal. So it's clear they went back to the drawing board at some point. If you go to their website, it says kind of what it is survival horror. You can upgrade that little gun camera thing that you saw, but they say it's like a last resort, so it sounds like you're going to be sneaking around a lunar base. It's like an 80s based vision of the future is what they're calling
it.
And out of all the spacey horror games that I saw at Jeff's show, I was most interested in that one. So I agree with you, Diego. I thought that was one of the highlights. Paul, what did you see that you liked?
Well, I do want to also echo Diego's sentiments that was my favorite Dead Space game that they showed yesterday.
out of the four they showed, yeah.
the other one that really stood out for me, which I hadn't heard about, I don't know if this was the first time that they showed it, maybe they showed it previously, but Witchfire really stood out for me for, you know, reasons that I can't really put my finger on. Like, I just love the general like speed and the sort of frenetic energy of what we saw. And there's something kind of funny and silly about basically like Doom in the Middle Ages, which kind of sounds sick to me and something that my ancestors would be happy to, you know, cheer me on as I shoot through, you know, many medieval folks, let's just say. But yeah, that one really looked cool to me. And I don't know. I thought there were some things from the Jeff show that I thought looked pretty cool that I might check out. That I'll just forget about, and then it'll be like, oh, it's out today, or it's on like Game Pass. I'm like, oh shit, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was definitely a standout for me.
Yeah, I thought that looked cool. Was that the trailer with all of the like doom metal music in it?
Yeah, okay. It looks a lot like Doom. Like,
yeah.
It kind of looks like Doom and like, I don't know, Vermintide or Back for Blood kind of thing. But yeah, it's you know, I don't know. It looks fun.
Yeah, magic and shooting and yeah. It did look pretty cool.
It's funny about that project because it was announced, I think, a couple of years ago. I think it was like an Xbox showcase. And the premise is like there's people in like the lead development team from the Painkiller and Bulletstorm teams.
Oh yeah.
But I think also it's kind of like developers that work on The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, which was this like walking, I don't want to call it walking simulator, but it was like this walking simulator from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And then when it was first showcased, I was like, okay, yeah, this is gonna be like Painkiller. And then it kind of went quiet for like a year. And there was like this development update, and they were saying like, oh yeah, it's more like a looter shooter now. And I was like, okay, that's kind of a letdown. And what we seen yesterday was kind of like Doom. So I don't know what's going on with that game.
Yeah, it's kind of a trend to see these games that were announced. Witchfire was actually announced. It was revealed for the first time at the Game Awards in 2017. So also Jeff's event many years ago at this point.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, they made The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, which is like not at all like this game that we just saw. No. Which I think is cool. And they but you're right, Diego. It definitely it has gone through another transformation, just like the routine team seems to have gone through. So but yeah, I thought those were definitely interesting. I mean, my really honestly, my biggest takeaway was the fact that Neon White and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge are coming out next week. Oh, like that was two big announcements for me that made me want to go get a physical calendar and circle June 19th and just get super excited about it, because Neon White is the new game from Ben Esposito. He made Donut County. Again, I love it when devs make a game and their next game is so fucking not like the last one they made. Neon White is amazing. If you haven't played the demo on Steam, it was a really fun time. First person kind of card, like deck building, very, very fast paced, heavy on the speed running tech. Shooter, and I'm really excited for that. Obviously, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game, that is .emu. They were largely responsible for the Streets of Rage 4 game, which is one of my favorite games of the past couple of years. So
same.
Very excited for those.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, seeing those two games in particular definitely made me excited for like, oh shit, that's like right around the corner. I love that kind of excitement. Another one that stood out for me, which I was surprised by, to be honest, was the game from, I think, the Genshin folks, the Zenless Zone Hero.
Yeah.
I like Genshin kind of just bounced right off. I bounced right off of Genshin rather. Like for various reasons, but mostly for like aesthetic and tone and just overall presentation reasons. Right. Like I just couldn't vibe with it. But if you give me like a futuristic, urban, futuristic take on that kind of formula, I'm like, oh, okay. I kind of like tilt my head a little bit like a dog interested when my ears are dangling. Like, oh, I think this might be, you know, to quote Fernanda, Paul Catnip. Like, this might be for me. Outside of that, I didn't know that Humankind's DLC was coming for like a Latin American DLC, which I was like, oh shit, okay, I might need to check this out, investigate real quick. But I'm curious about that. I don't really tend to bother with those kinds of games. They're just not in my wheelhouse, but I am curious. I gotta admit, I am pretty curious.
Michael Hyam was cracking me the fuck up on the call. Just go, oh shit, we can download Latinos now. This is amazing. it was really funny. I thought that was interesting. There were, like we said, four sci-fi space shooters discussed. One is obviously the Callisto Protocol, but then we saw two others that looked alarmingly similar. I feel bad for all of those games in various ways because they all kind of bleed together for me, especially on one presentation. I don't know. I like Jeff's show had a few bangers. I admit, but I felt this one kind of went pretty long and didn't give us a whole lot of new stuff. I felt like a lot of the new stuff was really in Day of the Devs, which we saw right afterwards. Mm-hmm. Rounded up a lot of indies. Diego, I'll start with you again. Like what stood out for you for this showcase, and what are you excited about?
I think the if I can start with something that is in game. One of the developers, I think it's wait, let me search for the name because I want it. Greg Rice, who is the head of PlayStation Creators.
Oh yeah,
was wearing this amazing shirt, and I became obsessed by it. And I kind of missed like half of the games because I was trying to like track down the shirt with him on Twitter. And he was like, oh yeah, I found it on New Orleans, but I don't remember the store. And I was like, oh, okay. And then like 20 minutes later, he's like, oh yeah, no, wait. This is a store, like get in touch with them and see if they can make one for you. So that was like my experience.
That's a highlight. Areas,
mostly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's a highlight.
Yeah, but that's a big one.
I'll say Bear and Breakfast look super, super cute.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. And also Scheme, I think it's pronounced Scheme, which is like that shadow game. Super nice. I mean, I think we all been seeing like gifs on Twitter about the game for quite a while.
Yeah.
Because it usually goes kind of viral, at least on like our own cycles. Because it looks amazing. But yeah, I think the overall presentation was it got me excited after 2 hours of being a bit let down.
Pretty let down, same. Scheme looks really cool. If you haven't seen it, you basically play this little frog looking shadow creature that jumps into shadows like water, and looks like an amazing puzzle platformer. And I don't know, that looks amazing. Bear and Breakfast looks great. Imran insists it should be called Bear B&B, which I totally agree with.
Missed opportunity
there, but that just looks so cute and so delightful. You're basically a cute bear running a bed and breakfast and dealing with stuff around town. Those two definitely stood out for me. How did you feel about those, Paul?
I completely agree. Scheme at least wrote a really cool piece about it on the site.
Yeah.
About, like, how it reminded her of, you know, just being a kid. And same with me. It kind of it reminded me of another 2D platformer that came out. I think it was last year or a couple years ago. I forget what it was, but you're kind of like, you know, running across street signs and different things on the walls. It's like that kind of stuff really taps into that kind of childhood imagination where you're in the backseat of a car, just imagining someone, you know, parkouring alongside you or whatever. I think two other standouts for me right off the bat were Animal Well. I think like for that was like the pixel art one that had some really interesting effects being applied to them, like in the lighting and physics side of things.
Yeah.
I know in general we're kind of all pretty tired of that aesthetic, but that one seems to be doing some pretty interesting things, like with the Metroidvania template that, I don't know. I think I could see myself playing that.
I like that. And they also use like lighting in a really interesting way. Don't typically see with, it looks like a lot of 3D rendered lighting effects in this kind of pixel environment, which is really cool. The devs also say that puzzles in this game could take people literally years to figure out, which is, you know, your mileage may vary about how excited you are about something like that, but I think it's pretty cool. So I'll
probably ignore it and then read about it on Fandom.
Someone solved that. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Then forget about it.
Yeah.
I would love to play that game in the dark on my big old 4K TV.
Hell yeah.
You know, with my Philips Hue lights set to Zooted. And then, speaking of which, the other game, I think it's called Naiad.
Yeah, Naiad.
N-A-I-A-D. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That top-down swimming game
with
the really gorgeous color palette.
Yep.
That again, that's another Paul Catnip Zooted time. I can't wait to check that out, see what it has to say, because there was a moment where the character is kind of swimming through one of the creeks or the streams, and then a car kind of passes into frame. And I do like those kind of, you know, smaller, more poetic statements that come from developers, because I don't know, I think that's it's nice to just experience those every once in a while.
Yeah, no, for sure. One game that really stood out, we had heard about a little bit about it, but we saw more of it at the Day of the Devs, is Choo Choo Charles. Choo Choo Charles is an open world horror action game where you are being pursued relentlessly by a choo choo train that looks like a demon spider. We learn more about the loop of this game from the developer. You are basically on an island. You find a train after you're basically chased to it for the first time by this horrible entity. There are cultists on the island that are trying to feed you to the train. There are villagers that give you tasks. You are essentially supposed to do side quests and explore and all this other stuff to like build up the train stats in order to take down this awful creature once and for all. And it sounds stupid as shit, I know, when I say it, but I'm compelled by it. I'm very compelled by it. So we'll see.
Is it like that one idea that they give you the pitch at the wheel and you're like, yeah, yeah. Okay, how much money do you need?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I, you know, it's like, yeah, as a concept, I'm like, sure, okay, being pursued by a spider train sounds interesting. And then you kind of see it in motion. And you're like, oh, wow, all right. Like, I mean, I might be too scared to play this game, but I definitely want to watch someone play it. That's,
oh, for sure.
That's definitely kind of where I am on this. Yeah, but we saw some good, I mean, a lot of really good games. A couple of Japanese indies. There's a game called Fox and Frog Travelers, the Demon of Adashino Island, which is like,
yeah,
very cool. Looks like kind of pre-rendered-y PS1 backgrounds, which is amazing. I wish that, I hope that aesthetic kind of re-catches on, because I feel like a pixel renaissance has happened and continues to happen, but we're not seeing that many kind of callbacks to pre-rendered backgrounds of PS1, which I wish we would. Yeah, that game looks cool. I was very impressed with Day of the Devs. I saw a lot of stuff that I was excited to play, and definitely kind of marked on my internal calendar. Anything else that people are excited about, interested in, maybe stuff that we might see coming up? Paul, what do you think?
Do we want to chat about Devolver?
Oh yeah, I forgot about Devolver. I kind of missed most of the Devolver stuff, and I caught up on it this morning. What did you see from there that you were psyched about? Because I saw one thing we got to talk about. If you don't,
yeah, I think I know what we got to talk about. So I'll save my excitement all for right. that. My all caps excitement for that. But yeah, I think Call of the Lamb looked really cool. I didn't expect that one to really, or I didn't expect a game like that to really like tip the balance of like. My excitement over other games I'd previously seen that day, but
yeah,
I don't know. Like you said, there's an interesting aesthetic there, that kind of like isometric, I believe, like kind of 3D-ish space that you can move around and fight enemies, and it looked kind of interesting. Like seeing all these really interesting art styles. Yes. The Plucky Squire was another one. Kind of Zelda. 2D vibes in a beautiful storybook, and then the character at one point jumps out of the storybook and it becomes 3D. Like,
I mean, that was like an incredible transition. When I saw that in the trailer for Plucky Squire, I was kind of blown away, because they seem to go way harder into that than I expected. I thought it was going to be this like moment to moment gimmick, but it seems like a really big part of the game, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I like, it gives me like Paper Mario and It Takes Two vibes. Yeah. And like, those are two games that I, you know, obviously love to stare at, let alone play. So I, it makes me, like you mentioned too, like about the art style thing, the kind of the renaissance of certain art styles. It's interesting seeing all of these really beautifully designed and, you know, created, crafted games. And then, you know, I was thinking about, was it last week or whatever, when that Sonic gameplay was revealed?
Oh my god,
like,
yeah.
it makes me so sad that, like, you know, that we're like some games in that, you know, in that space continue to sort of chase the hyper realistic vibe, when I think there's a really missed opportunity to like lean into some really old school, or like resurrect really cool like Dreamcast aesthetics or PS1 aesthetics, or you know, I think that sort of pendulum is swinging back in this direction, where I think the younger folks are kind of embracing those aesthetics or even appreciating them a bit. But yeah, those two games for me were definite standouts.
Yeah. I thought Plucky Squire looked incredible. I loved how the character like throws a word into place to finish a sentence. Yeah. And it's like they really lean into the storybook thing. I thought that was really one of the most compelling trailers I think I've seen in a really long time. And that comes out next year. But do we want to talk about the Demon Made of Glass and Pain?
yes. Give it to me.
Because a game called Skate Story, which I think is a bit of a disappointing title for really what this looks like. But it looks like fucking Skate 3, but through a lens of... God, I don't even know how I would describe it.
It's A24 Skate 3.
I think A24 Skate 3 is pretty good. Yeah, like you are basically this hyper reflective skating demon. You're made out of this like reflective glass. You are skating through the underworld. It looks so fucking cool. I have nothing else to add. I just thought this looked amazing. God. I don't know, Diego, Paul, I know y'all are probably both pretty excited about this.
I think we've been seeing this game for quite a bit of time. Mostly again on Twitter, like the developer sharing like just like short snippets about it. And I think I recall like a tweet like last year or something around that time. Where it was like, yeah, we have like some more news soon. And as soon as I saw it on the world, I was like, ah, they got the deal. But yeah, I mean, it looks fantastic. And it also has like this, made of glass, those like red big ball letters on the trailer. It's like that kind of like, yeah, you had to like skate through the underworld. It's like, okay. I don't know how much they're going to lean on like the story side of like this case story.
Sure.
But I'm intrigued by it.
I'm definitely intrigued. I am kind of worried in the same sense of just like, where does this go? Because like how much of this is just being sold to me as an aesthetic and a vibe? Because it's like, that's, that's not worthless. Like, I think that's great, but I'm also curious I'm also curious about kind of how in depth things go with it.
Yeah.
Especially in like the gameplay side of things, because it's one thing to see like this kind of like concept trailer, because it is gameplay, but you don't really know how you're gonna be controlling the character, how you're gonna be doing tricks, if it's going to be complex, if it's going to be like more like oriented to like a casual audience. I don't know, but I mean, I'm sold by this, but I really want to know more about like. The minute to minute like moment, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I am very curious about the story half of the equation here, of like, you know, how things are going to be told. I imagine it's going to be very like, you know, dreamlike, very, you know, not on rails, but you gotta have to sort of move in a certain direction, kind of like, I don't know, like a Rez or a Sayonara Wild Hearts or something like that, which are, you know, two of my favorite games of all time. I'm always here for the sort of really trippy, gorgeous aesthetic, dreamlike game that, even if it doesn't say much, I think just the experience of playing it or is like, just, you know, for me is one of the reasons why I come to video games. Like I it's one of the reasons why I love playing these kinds of things and experiencing them in this way, because like, you know, there's just no other way to experience that sort of thing. Even just watching the trailer makes me, you know, so excited to just get the game in my hands. And I've seen this thing for years. Like we've all seen it for years. I remember seeing a demo of it way back when, and then I remember seeing it again at like, I think Game Devs of Color one year. And, so I mean, I've been eagerly anticipating this game for what feels like a lifetime. So I'm trying to not let the hype get to me too much. Just I want to kind of meet it on its own terms and be kind to it in that regard. But
sure.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited for that one.
Yeah, but you're also going to be like rewatching the trailer like 50 times this weekend,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Like we are going to be. True.
Yeah, it's definitely one I've rewatched a lot. That and Plucky Squire, I've rewatched those two trailers like 10 times each. We have them all collected over at fanbyte.com if you want to check those out. We have those for the Devolver Showcase, for Day of the Devs, and of course for Summer Game Fest 2022. I expect some stuff to be announced this week. We have like more stuff on Sunday when this airs, Monday. Is there anything on your radar that like could get announced that you might be excited about, or are you just kind of being open about it? Diego, I'll start with you.
I mean, every passing year I ask for the Darkness 3, and every passing year I don't get the Darkness 3. So I'm ready to be disappointed again. But I'm also going to say I would love to see something about Fable.
Okay, yeah.
But I also believe in my soul that project is still too
early
in the early days. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Paul, what about you? Is there anything on your radar that you want to see?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some rumblings of Forza things. So I wouldn't mind. By Forza, I mean Forza Motorsport proper, like the proper mainline series.
Please, Paul, Motorsport.
I'm sorry, yeah, Motorsport. I gotta get ready for it.
Yeah, get it ready.
But yeah, I'm curious because, like, you know, I've been playing a lot of Motorsport games in the past, you know, several months, if not, you know, well, over a year now, especially doing sim racing stuff. So yeah, I'm very curious to see, like, what they are gonna, if it even shows up at all, if we see any sort of rumblings. But I would love to see, like, some stuff, gameplay, modes, you know, what they've been up to, because I hope they've been up to something. I would love to see a return to that series, and especially with, you know, on the heels of Gran Turismo that just came out a couple months ago, which is in such an awkward place at the moment. It would be nice to just maybe even have another option, even with F1 2022 coming out and F1 Manager, which I cannot wait for, which I'm going to devour when they officially release. That's one thing I'm really looking forward to, or hoping to see.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it'd be good to see what they get up to after we see kind of, do they react to Gran Turismo 7 in any sort of direct way? Like, because I've definitely been enjoying that game, and yeah, playing Forza Motorsport again would be cool to see what they, what they got. I fully expect us to have to see something from Starfield, like, not just bad developer commentary and concept art. Like, I feel like we got to see something, some sort of gameplay loop. I know they delayed it already. I know they're basically setting us up for not having anything concrete, but it would be interesting to see something from this team because I don't know. It's a very, very suddenly, it feels like, even though it's not sudden at all. It feels like Bethesda needs, like, an actual hit, like an actual kind of reason to be excited again, because I feel like Fallout 76 was not only not a great game, but also we heard this week just about a bunch of crunch issues with that development. And I don't know. It'll just be interesting to see what Bethesda's got up its sleeve this weekend. And Diego, I know you've been playing The Quarry. I wanted to ask you about that game. How is it? I know you've been talking about it on Slack, but have you been playing too much of it to actually give an opinion on it, or could you recommend it?
I mean, I have right now. I mean, if you would have asked me this yesterday, I think my response would have been different, but. I mean, it's interesting. It's the first Supermassive Games title that I play from, like, this plethora of, like, Until Dawn, the Dark Side Chronicles and such. That I play, like, back to back. I don't see Until Dawn in, like, long plays and such.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting. I like the base choice games. I like narrative games in that sense.
Yeah.
I think I got too attached to my characters and forgot that this is based in, like, a slasher horror flick. and people were expected to die, and I didn't want them to. And I had two, like, very, very, in my opinion, cheap deaths. Towards the end, where I lost basically, like, five characters in, like, the span of 15 minutes, and I was so mad. But I think it's interesting. And I also like it has, like, this big influence of, like, analog horror, where everything feels like you're watching a VHS tape.
Okay, that's
kind of
cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's interesting. I like what they're doing with that. Like, for example, if you use a live, you have, like, this system. If you beat the game, or if you purchase, I think it's the deluxe edition, you get, like, quote-unquote, early access to that feature, where it's like, okay, if someone dies, you can revive them. And you have, like, these three lights to, like, restore encounters during the game. And whenever you do that, it's like you're, like, rewinding the tape, which is, it's cool.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing with that.
I dig that.
It's interesting. It has a cool cast of characters. I like the story. Even if it's cheesy, I think it's, like, the good kind of cheesy, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, yeah, I definitely recommend it.
Okay.
I mean, embrace for to like lose people on your first playthrough. It won't be perfect. Don't make the same mistake that I did.
Paul, you're saying you would make it through the quarry with 100% of your characters intact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm built different.
All right. All right.
Oh,
I'm playing on my wheel too.
Let's get that on tape. Would love to see it. All right. Yeah, I know it's been a long week. I know we've been just like bouncing off the walls from regular game coverage to the stuff that's being announced. So I hope y'all, we're recording this on a Friday. I hope y'all have a restful weekend for the most part. But yeah, we'll keep it here at fanbyte.com. We're going to be covering all the announcements over the weekend and beyond, and into the week. We still have what feels like several weeks of this left. And more was added. We've got Final Fantasy VII, update coming up this week with, 10 minutes of announcements on that stuff. So, we'll have plenty to talk about this time next week. So, but yeah, but thanks to Diego and Paul for hanging out. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you. Anytime.
Hi there. I'm just quickly interrupting to tell you about another show here on the podcast network. It's called 99 Potions, and every single week, me and my RPG pals, Imran Khan, Steven Strom, and Natalie Flores, talk about role-playing games together. We love role-playing games, and we love talking about them. And each and every week, we talk about the latest news, games that we would go deep on, and much, much more. This past week, we went really hard on two games. We went hard on the brand new announcement of Dragon Age Dreadwolf, as well as the brand new trailer for Final Fantasy 16. We talked about both at length, so if you are at all interested in those, please check it out. We often also stretch the meaning of RPG. We talk about a lot of games on that show. So if you like roundtable discussions about video games, that is really our best show for that consistently on the network. 99 Potions, the premier RPG podcast. Okay, we're back from a little bit of a break. I want to thank Diego and Paul for, of course, talking to me about the big announcements from this week. I want to clean up a little bit, talk to you about some of the other things that were announced so you are up and at 'em with all of the latest information. So let's start with Jeff's big show, Summer Game Fest 2022. It was a star-studded affair. The Rock showed up. So did Troy Baker. We'll get to that. Of course, like we said, we got new footage from Guile in Street Fighter VI. He's got a little bit of a beard, plays very familiarly. If you know a Guile, you've seen a Guile. I kind of like this new thing in Street Fighter VI where everybody is wearing essentially what appears to be fight ready gear. No one is wearing something that feels deeply inappropriate or too like on the nose. So Guile kind of looks like just a dude now. I think we might see some backlash on it because it doesn't have like a ton of like identity to it, I suppose. Like it was always very noticeable to see him in fatigues and a green tank top fighting, but now everyone's kind of in the streetwear. I don't know. I think it's an interesting departure. Anyway, that's not important. What's important is that Street Fighter VI is coming out. Guile, he's got a little bit of a beard, and he plays like you would expect Guile to play. Street Fighter VI looks great, though. Everything I'm seeing from that looks very, very interesting. We saw a new game in the Aliens franchise called Dark Descent. It's an overhead game. It's coming to PC and consoles in 2023. We did get another longer look at the Callisto Protocol. Director Glenn Schofield showed up on stage to talk about the game and also do his best impression of Tony Soprano. The Stomp is back. So if you're familiar with Dead Space, there's the Stomp and also the the life bar on the back. Anyway, Callisto Protocol looks great. A lot of old Dead Space devs on that one, and it really shows. So if you like squishy body horror, that game does look very, very cool. We saw a long gameplay trailer for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. The level they showed was that frigate level, very familiar territory if you've played the original Modern Warfare 2. Obviously, with all the ongoing Activision Blizzard stuff, we don't really cover a whole lot of Activision stuff in earnest for reasons that should be apparent to you. But if they're not, I'll just tell you anyway. They're in the midst of a lot of labor problems and lawsuits. And Bobby Kotick is obviously kind of a dweeb that sucks and is still in charge there. So, yeah, we just don't talk about those a lot. If you like the way Call of Duty looks, then you'll probably like the new Call of Duty. I've got like nothing to say about that. Anyway, Flashback, very old school game, 30 years old, is getting a sequel called Flashback 2. It really is strange, though, because like the art direction in technical limitations of the original Flashback were like such an amazing part of that game. Flashback 2 just looks like any sort of side scrolling technical game. Looks like Shadow Complex. Remember that game? Kind of looks like that. So they've kind of lost some identity there. It's a little bit weird. We talked about Witchfire in the roundtable. That game looks pretty cool. You can wishlist it right now on Steam if you wish. Fort Solace is one of those games that looked an awful lot like Callisto Protocol and Dead Space. Takes place in space. All right. I'm so sorry to these games that are coming out one right after the other because... yeah, it's wild. Callisto Protocol is in December. Dead Space is in January. Fort Solace, I don't believe, had a release date yet. Also kind of wild is Routine. We talked about this in the roundtable. That's been in development for 10 years. This game is also very, very, very interesting. But it's kind of sad that's coming out in the glut of all this stuff. The Rock did show up and talked about Black Adam. It was very awkward. He talked about his weird energy muscle milk or whatever he does. It was kind of strange. Really felt like Jeff Keighley had not seen the video that The Rock sent yet. It was just odd. Just an odd vibe. Outriders is getting an expansion called World Slayer. We saw some new stuff from Fall Guys, which is pretty cool. We also saw earlier this week, of course, at the Sonic showcase, we saw that they're getting Sonic Tails and Knuckles outfits in Fall Guys, which is very, very cool. Frost Giant Games is building a new RTS called Stormgate. A lot of ex-Blizzard talent went over to form Frost Giant. Of course, Blizzard has made a lot of RTS games like StarCraft. And they are putting their entire back into Stormgate. Looks a little bit like a Diablo RTS, honestly, but looks pretty cool if you're into that kind of thing. Some other indie games were released. American Arcadia replaced High Water World. We have some trailers for those over at fanbyte.com on our roundup. Goat Simulator 3 got announced. Yes, that's correct. Goat Simulator 3. There is no Goat Simulator 2. That's the joke. Is that they just skipped 2. The trailer tried to pretend that it was Dead Island 2. Remember that trailer with the guys on his headphones strolling by the beach and everyone's getting killed around him by zombies? Oh, well, this trailer is just that, but it's goats instead of zombies. That is coming later this year to the Epic Games Store. Midnight Suns is coming out on October 7th, so that's not too terribly far from now. And also, it's no longer coming to Switch at launch. It's coming to Switch at a later date. The Switch logo disappeared from the game's platforms, which is very interesting, but we learned right afterward that it's not being canceled for Switch, but it's just coming out at a later date. We saw a new trailer for Cuphead Delicious Last Course. That game, that DLC for Cuphead is coming out on June 30th. We also learned, like we mentioned, that Neon White and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge are coming out on June 16th. So that's amazing. Got to see another indie trailer called Midnight Flight Express, which is kind of neat. Comes out on August 23rd. You can see a trailer over at fanbyte.com. Warframe showed up and talked about the Dviri Paradox, which has been in development for quite some time. Warframe folks are very excited about this. You can read about the Dviri Paradox over on fanbyte.com in depth. We have a piece up on it right now. Honkai Star Rail is a turn-based RPG from Genshin Impact dev Hoyoverse. Looks like a bit of a sci-fi Genshin Impact. Also, Zenless Zone Zero. It's another Hoyoverse game. Action-oriented rogue light element game. Got a trailer. Those two are kind of like more sci-fi-y than what you would see in Genshin Impact. So if you're interested in that, you should check those out. We got to see Casey Jones show up in the new Shredder's Revenge trailer. That's amazing. I will call Casey Jones every single time. Unless I'm with friends, and then I will let you play Casey Jones because I'm just so giving. Humankind is a kind of a Civ-like game. They're adding the Cultures of Latin America DLC pack, which is very cool. Also, it's very weird to just see them be like, hi, now there are Latino people in this game, but it's coming soon to Game Pass, so check that out. A turn-based RPG from One Piece called One Piece Odyssey got its big debut trailer. It's got turn-based combat, looks very cool. Very stylized UI, UX, which I think is neat. The trailer looked pretty awesome, to be honest. So I'll definitely keep an eye out on that. And you should definitely keep an eye out on it if you are a One Piece fan. Got a new trailer for Soul Hackers 2, of course. That's the first time we've seen this with an English voice cast. So if you're into that, go check out that trailer. Capcom Arcade Stadium's got a release date of July 22nd, including a ton of games like the original Street Fighter. I saw Saturday Night Slam Masters in there. A lot of really cool old Capcom games that you can check out. So we got another look at The Quarry, which we talked about earlier with Diego. That game is out by the time you're listening to this, so you should check it out. The demo for the Saints Row character creator was also announced. You can go get that right now and play with it. The demo is free on PlayStation 4, 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. Also, we have a big comprehensive review of what we found with our time with that creator before its launch over at fanbyte.com right now. I think you should go check it out. The new Warhammer game, Darktide, got a trailer. Looks pretty neat. Lots of blood and guts, as you might expect. Okay, Bloober Team did unveil Layers of Fears. That is correct. Layers of Fears. It is the third title in the Layers of Fear series, but it's just called Layers of Fears. I don't think I really like the stuff that Team Blooper does, but if you're into those games, that one looks like another one of those. We learned a little bit more about Gotham Knights, which showcased the character Nightwing quite a bit in a trailer. Okay. And then the show ended with the news, well, kind of news. It was leaked earlier that day, but, you know, news to a lot of people, that The Last of Us Part 1 is a brand new rebuild of The Last of Us, a PlayStation 3 game that, of course, was remastered for PlayStation 4, is now being rebuilt for PlayStation 5. Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson showed up to talk about the show on HBO, which they are now in, apparently. They're not reprising their roles as Joel and Ellie, of course. Those are different actors that play them in the show. But they are going to be in the show, and they also stopped by to talk about the new remake. And so did Neil Druckmann. And just a quick aside, the vibes of The Last of Us folks talking about The Last of Us, it's not my jam, honestly. They kind of act like no other video games have ever been made. It's weird. I know a lot of people like those games, and it's cool. I think they're kind of depressing, and that's okay. That's kind of the point. But the way this team talks about the games, it's very odd to me. Off-putting. But they spent like 20 minutes talking about it, too. It was kind of an odd end to the show. But if you're into that, then that's probably some exciting information for you. Let's move on. Let's move on, because that's not the only thing we saw. We also saw an announcement of Cozy Grove 2. That's right. Spry Fox, just independently of any of these big showcases, decided to announce that they are making a sequel to Cozy Grove called Cozy Grove 2. You might be wondering, well, why are they making a sequel to this game when they could just add to it? Well, it's because they want to basically just add a lot of things that might actually change the overall feel of the game. The studio says, quote, it'll give us a chance to take the large amount of time that we need to address the remaining technical issues that make expanding Cozy Grove 2 difficult, while also giving us a chance to do the work that will be necessary to delight all of you with new content and hopefully bring new people into our community as well. So basically, they want to add more stuff to the game that would actually fundamentally change it, and that's why they're doing Cozy Grove 2, which is great news for Danielle Riandu, who loves that game very much. But I know a lot of people like that game. It's very cool. We also had Day of the Devs. That's the thing that Double Fine puts on every year. And it's a showcase of usually big indie projects that are coming out. And honestly, there were a lot of bangers in this one. We alluded to it earlier. There's a game called Time Flies. You play as a fly. And it's about the fleeting nature of life. I mean, doesn't that sound great? It's coming out sometime in 2023 for PlayStation, Switch, and PC. We got Planet of Lana, a 2D side-scroller puzzle game, which looks really pretty. I really like the art style of this one. Looks a little bit like Flashback. Looks a little bit more. Looks a little bit like Ori, which is very cool. It's hitting Xbox and PC later this year. We talked about Choo Choo Charles already. The trailer says early 2022. I think it was a mistake. It was either supposed to say early 2023 or it's just an old thing. We still don't know what that means, actually, but it looks very cool. A killer spider train is running after you. It looks great. Escape Academy, which we talked about with Ash Parrish a few weeks ago, got a nice trailer. It's coming to PC, PlayStation, and Xbox on July 14th and will be a Game Pass game at launch. A little to the left is basically an organizing game, which is very cute. PC and Switch, of course, we talked about Bear and Breakfast. There's a thorough write-up of that game over on fanbyte.com. It's coming out on PC and Switch on July 26th. We also talked about Animal Well earlier, which looks very, very cool. I think the lighting effects with the pixel art makes this game really stand out. You should definitely take a look at it. I like the way this game looks a lot. No date, no time frame, no nothing, but it looks great. Naiad, also something Paul talked about. It's top-down kind of swimming game. It's about nature and urbanization, and, you know, that could get a little heavy-handed. But you know what? It looks really great. I'm definitely going to check it out. Roots of Pacha is a Stardew Valley-looking game that is all over the place. It was at the IGN showcase. It was at Day of the Devs. They're making sure that you know about this game. It's got a demo on Steam right now if you want to check it out. Us 2 Games, the folks that made Monument Valley, they've got a new game coming out called Desta, The Memories Between. It's being built from the ground up as a multi-platform game, and the devs showed it off on Switch at the presentation. We talked about Scheme, which was the little shadow jumping game. I think this game mechanically looks the most interesting out of anything we saw. We have a detailed write-up over on fanbyte.com. I talked about Fox and Frog Travelers, the Demon of Adashino Island. I really like the way this game looks. I'm definitely going to check that out. But it'll be a while. It'll be coming out in, quote, in a few years. So we have some time. Another Japanese indie they showed was Goodbye World. It's, of course, Mother-inspired. Why not? And also, it's so dedicated to invoking the SNES and GBA titles that it even renders in a resolution close to those consoles. Very cool. It's going to be out on PC later this year. Birth is a game from solo developer Madison Carr about moving to a new city and living alone. It's kind of a neat little, clicky little diorama game. It looks very interesting. I love the art style. Very hand-drawn. It's coming out in the fall of 2022. How to Say Goodbye. The player character has died, struggling to accept their death. Your little ghost with glasses looks pretty interesting. Comes to Steam later this year. We also have a more thorough write-up of it over on fanbyte.com. And the Day of the Devs ended with a game called Little Nemo and the Guardians of Slumberland. There's no reason why an extant person in the year 2022 would know that Little Nemo used to be a early 20th century American comic strip and then later a children's cartoon. But there was also a Capcom game from the NES era that was actually quite good. And this game reminds me of that a little bit, but with a much more, I'll just say it, kind of a flash looking art style. But it looks pretty neat. So I will probably check that out since I played a lot of the NES game. wild, huh? We talked about the Devolver Digital stuff. There wasn't a ton in that one. Of course, we talked about Cult of the Lamb. That looks great. That comes out on August 11th to PC, PlayStation 4, 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S. It's a roguelite. It's also coming to Switch. I don't think I said that. Angerfoot is a 3D Hotline Miami is basically what Steven Strom called it. Very cool first person perspective, looking hyper violent pop neon game. It's coming out in 2023 to PC. The Plucky Squire, we mentioned it already, coming to PC, Nintendo Switch, PS5, and Xbox Series X and S next year. Probably my favorite trailer of the entire week. You should definitely go check this out. It looks amazing. Kind of looks like Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds, but also some 3D stuff. Very cool. And they rounded out the showcase with Skate Story, which we talked about in depth. It's been in development for a while, coming to PC in 2023. Let's talk about the Netflix Geeked Week. We talked a little bit, or we will talk a little bit about Dragon Age Absolution, which is a new Dragon Age game. I'll talk about that in my next section. We also got a trailer for Tekken Bloodline. It's a Netflix anime. We got Hextech Mayhem and Moonlighter. Those are two mobile indie games coming that Netflix is going to produce, which is cool. Folks, there were a million announcements on Netflix Geek Week. You can check them all out on fanbyte.com. Funky Joseph did a great roundup for us, so I won't go through all of those. But I will say, another Castlevania show is in the works. It's called Castlevania Nocturne. It's focusing on Richter, this one. So if you like those Castlevania series, you might be very interested in that. Also, Sonic Prime is the upcoming 3D Netflix show. It's got the multiverse in it, which is a little bit sad. But it's also got Big the Cat in it. So get excited about that, because Big the fucking Cat is here. Really, the other major news from the Netflix stuff is they're making games. Like, you should know that by now. They've been talking about it, but they're going to heavily brand the games that they're making. A lot of stuff for mobile, but also stuff for traditional consoles and PC. So that's pretty interesting. And they look like, you know, the stuff they've grabbed so far looks pretty neat. So, yeah, let's move on from big announcements and showcases and things like that to an older game. Fallout 76 is apparently a game that was plagued by a troubling development cycle, according to a very lengthy report by Kotaku, which talked about the state of the team after that game came out. In the article, points out that multiple workers in the QA field would only find relief if they were entirely removed from the Fallout 76 team and put into another project. This quote really stood out to us. Quote, two former testers recounted that one of their colleagues said that in a QA group chat after leaving the project, I didn't cry last night when I was taking a shower. Another said in the same chat, I pulled into work today and I sat in my car for a second and my chest didn't feel heavy like it normally does, end quote. So Fallout 76 is, of course, a big game for Bethesda. It was a multiplayer enabled entry in the Fallout series. It was supposed to be a really, really big deal for them. It has found an interesting amount of success. You see little pockets of people doing interesting things in that game, but, you know, it's concurrent player levels are never really setting the world on fire. But there are a lot of issues with that. I fully suggest you go read the entire Kotaku report. It's really good. We also have some snippets over at fanbyte.com. I think the most damning thing that sources were telling Kotaku were things about bathroom snitches, basically these people that would follow people taking breaks into bathrooms, making sure that they were actually using the bathroom instead of, you know, just taking a break from the work and not working for a moment. A lot of really bad stuff in this report. So please check it out. It's disturbing stuff, but it's important to always shed light on these stories. And Kotaku did some great reporting there. I'm recording this on a Friday afternoon, and we just got word from Bloomberg in a report that God of War Ragnarok is slated to come out in November of this year, 2022. Rumors running rampant about the very little we've actually seen of this game, that this game could be pushed, you know, because a lot of AAA games that have been announced in that space have been also pushed to 2023, like Starfield, like Redfall, like a bunch of other games that we know about already. We kind of expect expected this one to do the same, but apparently it won't. It'll be coming out in November of 2022. So let's keep an eye on that. We don't know if we'll get any sort of official announcement on that this coming week, because we just had the Sony State of Play and nothing was mentioned then. So we may not know officially until a little bit later, but that is a report that is circulating right now as of Friday afternoon. And I'll just end this segment with a reminder that you should go to fanbyte.com and read Imran Khan's amazing report about an unannounced 1-2 Switch sequel. It's tentatively called Everybody's 1-2 Switch. And some of the details in that piece are amazing and must be seen to be believed. You should go read it right now over at fanbyte.com. It's called The Wild Story Behind Nintendo's Unannounced 1-2 Switch Sequel. It's probably my favorite thing that we posted this week, and I think you should definitely check it out. Let's go ahead and get you ready for what's coming up this week. A lot of bangers coming out. Okay, we've obviously heard a lot of big announcements of things that are coming out eventually, but we also learned about some stuff that's coming out like around the corner, like this coming week, and that's added to the slate of stuff that's coming out this week. So let's get you caught up, because in terms of volume, this week is out of control. So right now we've got Neon White. This is a game I'm super excited about. We talked about it earlier in the roundtable. That's Ben Esposito's new joint. That is coming to Switch and PC on June 16th. Grab that one. The demo was amazing. It was some of the most fun I've had with a game in a long time. I think I'm going to call it now. That's going to be on my top 10 list for the year. Definitely pick that up. Redout 2 is coming to basically everything under the sun. PlayStation 5, 4, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on June 16th. Starship Troopers Terran Command is coming to PC on June 16th. And then I am so excited about this one in particular. It is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on June 16th. So circle your calendars. Redout 2 and Starship Troopers, they might be for you. That's great. But for me, that's Neon White, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, both in one day. It is unbelievable how excited I am for those two games. Dotemu did amazing stuff with Streets of Rage 4. It's one of my favorite games from the past few years. And Shredder's Revenge looks so great. I'm very excited about that. Fall Guys, hey, that's coming to PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and Switch for free on June 21st. It's now free to play. There are a lot of really exciting updates for that game coming up, including a course creator, which I'm very excited about because I think the courses in the game get a little stale after a while. But I'm super excited about that. So Fall Guys, might pick that back up and start playing it again. Also on June 21st, the Shadowrun Trilogy. That is a great collection on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and Switch. And then Wreckfest. Yeah, baby, Wreckfest. It's coming to Switch on June 21st. We have Deliver Us the Moon coming to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S also on June 23rd. That game is already out on PC, but you can get it now on those consoles. Sonic Origins, that is a collection of Sonic, older Sonic games like Sonic, Sonic 2, Sonic & Knuckles, Sonic 3, for PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. That game looks great. In terms of Sonic right now, that's looking like your best bet. Sonic Frontiers is looking a little rough right now, but Sonic Origins looks pretty cool. It's got a bit of a Sonic Mania museum treatment to it, so that's exciting. And then three big releases coming to consoles and PC on June 24th. We've got Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes. Yes, that's a Musou game coming to Switch on June 24th. It is kind of this cool, like, what if with the Fire Emblem Three Houses crew. We'll definitely have some coverage of that. We've gotten some early access to that, so we'll have some impressions and thoughts and probably some guides this coming week. We've got Madison. That is a horror game. We just saw a lot of that from the IGN showcase. That's PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series X and S, PC, and Nintendo Switch. And then finally, the Capcom Fighting Collection, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Wow. I'm so excited about that one, too, because it's the return of Darkstalkers and some other really lost games that Capcom has not really done a lot with in a long time. But that'll be a nice collection to add to your library this coming week. That's a ton, y'all. And also, I've got this breaking news. We've got the, like I said, Shredder's Revenge. That is going to be an Xbox Game Pass joint on day one. So June 16th, go grab that on Xbox Game Pass if you've got an Xbox and you've got Xbox Game Pass. We will know more by this time next week. Probably as you're listening to this, we already know because this airs on Sunday. And of course, on Sunday, June 12th, the Xbox and Bethesda showcase happened. They probably announced a million things for a Game Pass. So go look at fanbyte.com for news there, because by this time next week, that'll be a little bit old news, but we'll still hit it. And there will be probably a lot more stuff added to Xbox Game Pass. Also, don't forget it. If you're I believe June 13th, so that is Monday of this week, you should maybe check out the PlayStation Plus. It's brand new. It's got three tiers. If you recall, if you want to get Stray for free for no extra cost, you can be a high tier PS Plus member when that game comes out on July 19th. Okay, and you know what? Honestly, if that's not enough, and that's a ton for 1 week, the Netflix Geeked showcase wrapped up with their gaming stuff this week, and Poinpy, P-O-I-N-P-Y, is a brand new game from the folks that made Downwell, and you can get it right now on iOS. Netflix is making that joint. It's basically another vertical scrolling game. You're bouncing up instead of going down. It looks very good, and honestly, Downwell is still one of the only mobile games I consistently fire up and play. I don't play a lot of mobile games. I've been dabbling with Diablo Immortal a little bit. Of course, I haven't spent any money on that yet, but I also play Downwell still, and so Poinpy is a brand new game. You can get it right now, and I'm definitely going to download that because they make very good mobile games, so check that out. So this week is absolutely flush with a ton of video games. I have still not caught up with Obi-Wan on the streaming side. I need to do that. I have still not finished the last couple episodes of Stranger Things. I still need to do that. Lots of stuff to catch up on that front. But there's a ton of streaming news. There's a new Dragon Age show coming out for Netflix. That'll be this year at some point, which they made a big show of because obviously the game is far away. But lots of stuff to come out this week. I'm super excited about a lot of it. There'll definitely be coverage and maybe even a review podcast of some of the games I mentioned. So stay tuned for all of that. That is going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank my two guests, Diego Arguello and Paul Tamayo, for stopping by. If you want to find Diego, you can find his writing all over fanbyte.com, of course, but also over on Twitter at Diego Arguello 66. That is Diego Arguello, A-R-G-U-E-L-L-O 66. He's a good follow there on Twitter. Very, very, very good. Paul Tamayo can be found at Polymayo. He's also the producer of other podcasts on this very network, which you can find over at fanbyte.com/podcasts. There are a lot of good ones on there that you should check out. I can be found over at Floppy Adult on Twitter. Today, the day this airs, June 12th, is my dad's 70th birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. Just want to say I get a lot of my media consumption qualities actually from my mom, but I just want to give a quick shout to things that my dad gave me. I love Bonnie Raitt. I still love Bonnie Raitt. I love listening to Bonnie Raitt like I listened to it in your Mitsubishi when I was a kid. And I like sports. I get that from you. So thanks, Dad. I love talking about stuff that I get from my parents. And yeah, Dad, you're awesome. You gave me sports and Bonnie Raitt, and, you know, emotional music. My mom doesn't really like emotional music. She likes rock and roll, shit that she doesn't cry about. But my dad likes that emotional stuff. I get that from him. So happy birthday, Dad. Don't think that I don't get any sort of media consumption habits from you. I did. And they're some of my favorites. Hope you're having a good one. That's going to do it for this week's show. Like I said, it is Hot Game Summer 2022. We're having a grand old time covering everything. There's a ton of coverage over at fanbyte.com. We're going to be talking about stuff all across our podcasts over the next few weeks. So please, like I said, fanbyte.com/podcasts is the best place to find everything. Okay, folks, until next week, you're welcome. We'll